हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधितमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैरगदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Samhita, Adhyayana 5, Adhikarna 3, Prakat and Aprakat Abodes, page 47. Actually, Krishna in manifest form went to Mathura, hiding the fact that he was the son of Nanda, and maintaining that he was the son of Vasudev. There he sometimes has two arms and sometimes four arms. The author begins to resolve the issue here. In presenting the issue, he describes the pastimes of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka. Krishna covers up the fact that he is the son of Nanda to increase the bliss of his relatives in Mathura. He reveals himself as the son of Vasudeva. So Rupa Goswami is pointing out that Krishna from Vrindavan went to Mathura. But that mood doesn't go because he presents himself as the son of Vasudeva to please them. Like that. So the much of the time we'll look at the physical presence of Braja Krishna, but the point is Krishna is everywhere. That same Braja Krishna, he's the one who's expanded through the cosmos. So the point is that mood of Krishna and Vrindavan, that won't leave Vrindavan, right? Now, let's say like at Kurukshetra or like this, or when you see in Lalita Madhava, also Rupa Goswami is describing this element, then you have that the Krishna's there with the Brajavasis. Now, we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita that it mentions that there's that statement, about wherever you are, it's Vrindavan. Right? I think it's addressed to Lord Chaitanya. It's also addressed to devotees. So, the point is that wherever the devotees are, that's Vrindavan. Because they have that mood. So, therefore, if the gopis and the Brajbasis are at Kurukshetra, where they are, it's Vrindavan. Where the Dwarkavasis are, that's Dwarka. So when Krishna goes and he's with the Brajavasis, it's in Vrindavan. So what's the problem of it being Braja Krishna? Otherwise, if we're stuck on the point that it's the physical form is actually the thing that never leaves, then we're going to have a problem, because we see right here the Acharya Rupa Goswami says he left. Actually, Krishna in manifest form went, because he's already quoting this other verse. Yeah, from the Yamala. Krishna, who was also born in the Yadu dynasty of Vasudeva, being Swayam Bhagavan, and superior to that of Vasudeva, never gives up Vrindavan to go elsewhere. There he always has two arms and never form, eternally plays with the gopis. So they'll say he physically never left. But Rupa Goswami is saying, actually, he did leave. But that mood doesn't leave. Because otherwise, if he didn't leave, why is there separation? Right? Because in the apricot, it's going on as if he's always in Vrindavan. So everybody has their time in the day with Krishna. So there's going to be that little bit of separation. But the Acharya points out, he went to Mathura. Otherwise, how we say the Brajbasis are saying he's not here? So, does that make sense? Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just trying to, based on the previous discussion, to see the broader picture, if it is possible.
Yes.
So, we mentioned previously that Uddhava went to Vrindavan after 3 months, mm-hmm. that Krishna actually physically, now we understood. Because when I read that passage, I have to be honest, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and Rupa Goswami mentioned it, I wasn't clear what's the meaning. Because as you were saying yesterday, the general concept, it was that Krishna actually physically stayed there and his form as Vasudev left.
Yes.
But then now we realize it doesn't make any sense, because then the feelings of separation is like a theater. It's just.
Because how would he be there unless it's apricot? So in the apricot, yes, he's not leaving, but in the prakat, if he doesn't leave, then how is the separation?
Yeah, it's not real. It's like mimicking.
Yeah.
So then before, Prabhu was explaining, before Krishna ascended Uddhava, after 3 months that he actually physically left, then they were associating with him in meditation, and sometimes in a spurti form. He appeared in a spurti form. Then when Uddhava came, that mood, that bhavrup, actually was present and for a while. And then after killing the Dantavakra, we were reading yesterday, because the sequence is there now, we know the sequence. then Krishna actually physically came back to Braj.
Yes.
Is that how we...
Yeah. He physically came back to Braj, and then at that time then the pastimes became apricot. So he stayed in Braj. He went back and he stayed.
Exactly.
But we see is that in the prakat, then he carried on with the Dwarka pastimes.
Right.
But in Vrindavan, he was there because it switched from prakat to aprakat. So then it resolves the problem of how Krishna would go to Dwarka, because they all everything folded back up into the aprakat. Right? Because the aprakat expands as prakat. So the prakat folds back up into the aprakat. Not that it's two separate things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very, you have the flavors, you have something. You want to add something here?
It's a gin.
Okay. So, you need one of these? Can't talk. Anyone else you had?
I've got.
Not these ones.
This will have an opposite effect. You take the...
Yeah. That's funny. If you get used to them, they're just pleasant. But then in the beginning, flames out your ears and nose.
You don't want me to be in the closet.
So it's a very fine point, because otherwise you have the thing that Prabhupada warned them. For devotees, there's Krishna and then there's Vishnu, and they're two different people because they're taking the physical form as the actual thing rather than the mood. Krishna's saying, no, they're the same person. Don't make such a distinction. Function is different, mood may be different, but it's the same person. Right? You know, it's just like if you go into the kitchen, your function is cooking. You go out in the backyard, you might be, you know, doing something in the garden or something like that. You go to work, you do it. So there's different functions, same person. So when you go to work, you know, Monica times you put on your work outfit, whatever that may be, right? You know, when you're at home, you're in more casual outfit. You go out in the backyard, you know, put on the garden work clothes. You know, if you go out jogging or for exercise, you put on those clothes. And you go to that place. You want to do exercise, you go to the gym, right? Like that. You don't go in the kitchen. I mean, it is work, you know. So picking up the things, putting in your mouth, opening the fridge, closing. You know, these repetitions, you know, they do things, you know. No? So you go to the gym for that. So the place is specific for it. The dress is specific. The mood, but it's the same person. Yes?
It seems the difficulty for us to understand that aspect of the Lord is that in our case, looking from Vyasti all the time, that we carry the same form, but the mood changes. So we think that the form is concrete, but the mood is abstract. Now, if we take samasti, then the mood is concrete, mm-hmm. and then the form follows the mood. We can't say it's really abstract with the Lord. It is concrete as well.
Yes, yes.
But so that with the Lord, as soon as the mood changes, the form changes.
Yeah.
But with us, the mood changes, but the form remains the same. That's why it's so difficult to switch from one position to the other.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like when he kills the demons, he has that mood of Vasudeva, but he's still Vraja Krishna, the form.
Yeah.
You know, and so that works there, you know, for Hiranyakashipu, you know, it works in the Sringadeva, otherwise he comes out as Krishna, and then, you know, how you say, whacks him with the lotus flower or something, you know, it's just, you know, it's not that Krishna couldn't do there, but it's just those devotees have a mood of what he will look like, how he'll deal and everything. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if Krishna whacked him with a lotus flower, it could be quite deadly. You know? I mean, Balaram just touched Rama Maharsha with a tip of a blade of grass, and that was it. You know, so.
But he was killed with foam.
Foam!
With the foam.
Yeah, because that was the one thing he didn't specify that he could be killed by. Wow. So... does that mean, like, how you say, Starbucks is actually, you know, keeping down the demoniac population? All the foam on top. Or maybe that's why the demons don't shave, right? Because they have the, you know, the foam, you know, shave. And, yeah, okay. So, he reveals himself as the son of Vasudeva. So, you have those things. This is Prakat. And in Aprakat, he never leaves. So when you say, even you take it, but he physically leaves, how can he leave? Because in Prakat, he's still there. I mean, in Aprakat, he's still there. Though Prakat, he leaves, but in Aprakat, he's still there. You know? So you have that also. So it's just all these different things. Now we'll get into what you were talking about, the Spurti and this and that.
Hmm.
Text 464 to 466. Krishna, protecting the Yadus, performed pastimes in Mathura and then went to Dwaraka and revealed pastimes there. There he revealed the form of Prajumna, the third member of the Chakravyuha, from whom the fourth member of the Chakravyuha, Aniruddha, appeared. Right? Because they're expansions, because it means if you're looking at it from the aspect of, you know, in the Chakravyuha, you have Sankarsana, he's the existence of things. So that means the existence means you can define them, there's knowledge of them and all that kind of thing. But it's just the knowledge of what they are. Prajumna means it's knowledge of how to use them, what's the actual relationship. Like I say, there's a rug, it does this, this, this. This is the floor, it does this. That's the wall, it does this. Right? And so then, but in Prajumna, then it's like how they relate, how they deal. Like we say, we put the rug on the floor, we sit on it. Remember as a kid that there was a gentleman around the corner, British guy, that he had spent time, I think, in the military, the British military, in India. You know? So he used to talk about India. You know? So he had a Persian rug on the wall, hanging on the wall. You know?
Right.
For decoration. Yeah, it means you have a fancy one, you put it up for decoration. It's like that. Yes, decoration, like that. And he had all, you know, things from India, you know, like that, you know, tchotchkes and, you know, that kind of stuff from India. Probably had, I think he had a hookah there, you know, one of those fancy ones of the thing. He didn't use it. It's just there for looking at. So his whole apartment was just filled with India stuff, you know, because it must have been before the independence.
Mm-hmm.
He was serving there. And he had, very good... know India, you know, so it was something. So, you know, otherwise this whole apartment, why would it be full of stuff? But so the how the relationship is in operating it, that comes from the field. So in other words, you have the field, then with that knowledge of the field, how you apply that in relationships. Right? Because Prabhupada says Sambandha is the relationship. It's all centered around Krishna. So how everything connects to Krishna. Abhideya means functioning in that relationship. So in other words, you can say that's the jnana in Sankarsana because, you know, he's in control of knowledge, you know, jnana and bala. But at the same time, it's not abhideya because it's not being applied. Right? So when you apply it, then that's known as, that's the knowledge we're looking for. Right? And so that's naturally an expansion of Sankarsana. You have the field, then there's relationships in the field of what you do and you act in that way. Then an expansion of that is going to be the results on Niruddha. So that's why then Vladini is coming from Samvit. It's not that you're not going to get Vladini by doing nothing. Action is performed in the field, therefore there's the taste of Krishna consciousness. Like that. But all that together is centered around Vasudeva. Because it's all about that. He is the center of all the relations. He is the center of all activity and knowledge. He is the center of all happiness. So it's all centered around him. You know, not just an origin, but around him. You know, you can say, yes, everything comes from Krishna. But then there's seeing everything connected to how to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. That's what the gopis, point was, is you're giving all this knowledge on gyan. We already see you and everything. We already like that. We're active in the relationship. So what's that going to do for us? It means for yogis and gyanis, that's going to help them. But we're already in another state. We can't stop thinking of you. So that's the first thing that has to be done. So the difference between when Krishna left and what they're experiencing, like you said, the spurti, just those momentary things. Then you have what's the next one? Avirbhava. Is that they're thinking during that 3 months that it's not real. Krishna's gone, so our thinking of him and feeling his presence is not real. They think it's an illusion, and so therefore it makes them, because they don't think it's real, they think it makes the separation greater. And so then in this way they're lamenting. But then when Uddhava comes and gives Krishna's message, when they're understanding the internal meaning of it, then they understand this, he is here. Because we're meditating on him, he is where you meditate. Like Krishna says, he is where the devotees are chanting and remembering, he is there. So he is there. So then they go on in that. But even that, there's still that aspect of separation. But it's not, now they understand they're with Krishna. So, but there'll be those moments of something else.
Yeah.
Then I think Balaram comes. Then they go to Kurukshetra. Right? Isn't it? Like that. That's, I think, the order. Every short time then there's that, and then there's, then Krishna comes back after Dantavaka. Yeah. Yes.
Also, while studying that chart from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it becomes obvious that the Vaikuntha devotees meditating on the Chaturvyuha, they expand from Narayana, who is an expansion of Sankarsana.
Yes, yes.
But then in Dwaraka, as it is explained here, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are direct expansions of Krishna.
Yes, so it's the first Chaturvyuha.
And they don't address it as such. They think that Mahanarayana then expands into Chaturvyuha. That's the original.
Yes.
But now we see that the original actually comes directly from the Lord.
Yes.
And then it's from Sankarsana, who is an expansion from Baladev.
Yes. And so then it's all coming there. So that's the first. So that's why also then in Svetadrip, it's that Chaturvyuha that is in the four directions.
Yeah.
Not the second manifestation, because that's the first one is comes from Krishna. The second comes from Mahanarayana.
Yeah.
And that from there then you get that expansion into the material world, the Purusha avatars and Vaikuntha. The 24 avatars there.
Yeah.
Also we discuss Krishna's view, huh? Krishna's Chaturvyuha.
Yes, yes. That was I meant by the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was described here. He talks about Mahavyuha, Krishna's Vyuha. Using that statement.
Okay, he uses it like that. So that's how it is. It's Krishna's Vyuha. Then, because Prabhupada calls it first and second, or primary, secondary, like that. So then, what was the other? Yes, yeah, so also it's going to be, because it is the same person, depending upon how you are, you're dealing, means the Yadavas are dealing with Vasudev. You know, so they're dealing with Vasudev Krishna. But when the Brajvasis are thinking of him in Dwarka or Mathura, and when they meet him, they're dealing with Braj Krishna. So then you also have that aspect on, yeah, the Swayam Rupa, you know, which is all there. So the first chapter of Yuha and Dwarka, they're all Swayam Rupa there. No?
I think Prabhavilas, when he comes down.
I kind of got that there was that there, that it's the Dwarkavasis are going to see.
Yeah, exactly.
The Dwarkavasis will see
the
what's the next one? Tat?
Tadikatma.
They're dealing with Tadikatma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Brajavasis are dealing with Swayam Rupa, even though they're all standing there together, the same person. When the Brajavasis come, Krishna's there, and you know, Vasudeva and everyone, and they all meet together because they're all old friends. So one side is seeing Tadekatma, the other side is seeing Swayam Rupa. So that's where the thing comes, because yes, they are dealing with Tadekatma. So it is another expansion, but the Brajavasis aren't. They're dealing with Swayam Rupa, because it's the same, it's actually the same person. Others make so much more distinction. We don't make as much of the distinction. You know, otherwise, how is it you see Krishna in the taste of water? Then you're going to say, well, that is a vibhuti of Krishna, then that's being controlled, you know, for us, and that by Kirodakshai Vishnu, but the overall, the, you know, it working in the universe and all that, that's going to be Garbhodakshai, but the principle of it, how it does the primary, that's going to be Karana Dakshai, and then you're going to go up, and so it's not actually Krishna. But for the devotees, they can drink water and remember Braja Krishna. So there's a difference there. Yes, according to one's realization, it's there. So that's why it's dangerous to hear from other sampradayas on these points. If Vishnu is supreme or not, is he material or not, is the jiva material or not, these things, all the sampradayas are going to say the same thing. Depending upon the situation, that different acharyas have brought out different angles of where they had to, you know, present it because of the particular conditioning they're working with. But otherwise, they're generally all using the same. And the fun part is, it's like Shankaracharya uses green bird and the green tree to say they merge. And when we want to say it doesn't merge, you have Brahman and Parabrahman. You know, you can't merge, just like a green bird and a green tree. It's still there. You see a green bird in the tree. Maybe you can't see because the green, but the bird's there. And they'll see, just like the bird, green bird goes in the green tree, now he becomes the green tree. It's all one. It's kind of like you have to be, you know, kids will think, yeah, what happened to the bird? He became the tree. If you told him he became the tree, it's like a kid, well, whoa, you know, like that. But it's not. So the same thing. They say Sarvam Kalvidam Brahman. We say the same thing. You know, so whatever they're saying, we say it to establish the Vaishnava because it has its natural meaning. They use it to establish a distorted or even perverted understanding. You know? It's based on something, but then they take it somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In the Ratha Yatra pastimes, lights never been given before, because generally, you know, whoever comes to that festival, and it's very famous festival, you know.
Yes, yes.
So they see Jagannath as Daru Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
But then Mahaprabhu and his followers, they see him as Shyama Sundar.
Mm-hmm.
And they take him to Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Pandas, it's just a, you know, festival.
It's just
a Pancharatrik festival. They carry on for like decades or thousands of years. And that's what they see. This is the meaning for them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same festival, it's the same person,
mm-hmm.
but completely different mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very, yes, very. In Dwarka, the pastimes of the four members of the Chaturvyuha, such as marriage, were displayed. Krishna reveals himself as Vasudeva and Dwarka, along with Balarama, Sankarsana, and Prajumna and Aniruddha. They constitute the Chaturvyuha. Right? So then, it's still the same Krishna, but then they have this thing, they manifest as the Chaturvyuha. So, yeah. Because the thing is, Swayamrupa, there's a similar mood, so it has to come. And the Tadekatna is always a different mood. Always. But in Swayam, you can have where it's the same mood or not, like Balaram Swayam, but a different mood. Right? Isn't he? He's Swayamrupa, or is he in Tadekatna? Yeah. So, but Krishna here, as Rupa Goswami points out, he still has the same mood. You know, otherwise, why at night he's dreaming of the gopis and that and things like that? You know, otherwise, if it was just a dream, why would he be thinking like that? So then that aspect where I'm saying, if that's where it comes in, that will be aspect of still Swayamrupa. Right? Means he is. Means the other ones may be. I mean, Balaram will be also Swayam. Now the Vasudeva and that are. But the point is, that's the primary, so it's not a problem there. So it has these different features. So that's where confusion comes, because we take Krishna and Dwarka, and it has to be just the one angle. But there's Krishna and Dwarka from the view of the Brajvasis, and Krishna and Dwarka from the view of the Dwarkavasis. Mm. That's where the distinction comes in. You know? So that has to be appreciated, because otherwise, you know, Braj, you know, being higher, it has to have a view, because there is the view. It's not wrong. Means for their mood that they're dealing with Tadekatma Rupa, you know, that's expanded from Mahanarayan, they're not wrong. But at the same time, there is the original form. You know, so by mood, they're not wrong. That's why we don't push the point. Tattva will explain, this is how it works, but by mood, it still works in that way. Text 467. In the manifest pastimes on earth, the inhabitants of Braja experienced the pain of separation for 3 months. However, at that time, there appeared something similar to his presence to give them bliss. Then after 3 months, Krishna met with them directly. How did Krishna join in Mathura just with the inhabitants of Braja, whose very lives were dedicated to Krishna? For 3 months they were submerged in the fire of separation. Even during that time, for 3 months, they maintained their lives by his Vishpurti. Vishpurti means like special spurti, or so it's not even just spurti, it's Vishpurti. Or Vispurti. V, it's not a double S. Vispurti. By tasting the bliss of separation, Vispurti means a special appearance which was similar to his actual presence. The happiness generated by separation from him would cause an increased happiness of meeting with him later. This was the reason for the manifestation of separation in the inhabitants of Braja. Then 3 months later he came back to meet them through a sudden appearance. Text 468-470. Thus meeting with Krishna is of two types, through unexpected appearance after 3 months, and through returning many years later. Right? So then when he say comes back, means he met him directly, but it's unexpected appearance. Right? So it'll be this sudden appearance, the avirbhava, that aspect. Well, then he comes returning. So that's, he appears there, then he returns there. That's how the difference. There, he just appears there. But the other is he then from the prakat aspect, he physically goes back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that way then, you know, yeah. The sudden appearance, avirbhava. Out of great eagerness, Krishna will unexpectedly appear in front of his beloved devotees, whose hearts have been extremely exhausted due to separation. Ever since they heard the message of Krishna delivered by Uddhava, Krishna became present in Braja. How long after his departure did this appearance take place? Uddhava came to Braja 3 months after Krishna had departed. From that time, Krishna became present. Right. So then in this Vispurti aspect, the avirbhava.
Yeah.
Footnote 1. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his 10th canto commentary that Krishna returned from Mathura in a form that remained invisible to others. In another form which was visible to all, he remained in Mathura, and then went to Dwarka. By his Achintya Shakti, Krishna also had the inhabitants of Vraja appear in invisible forms to unite with him when he returned to Vraja. When Krishna returned visibly after killing Dantavakra, the invisible and visible forms merged. So you had the... Good? Okay. Text 471 to 472. Well, that Krishna, while situated in Dwarka, was also present in Vraja, is stated in the Vishnu Purana and other scriptures many times. After making his appearance and performing pastimes in Vrindavan, the inhabitants of Vraja took his previous departure to Mathura as some sort of bad dream. Right, so because they were remembering him, they would still be thinking that they're always associating with him. But at the same time, it's physically he's not there. Means in the way of means he's there physically interacting, but it's this Vispurti. It's not he hasn't returned from Mathura. Because after Dantavakra, then it's no, he physically went to Vrindavan. Right? And then that invisible form of him, and then the invisible form of the Brajavasis and the apricot, then those all merge together. And then Krishna went back to Dwarka.
Yeah. Also, in a sense, it's the beauty of Goma Lila is that, you know, time begins with the birth of the Lord and then it continues and goes, and then we can see the three boats develop one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I understand, in an apricot Lila, mm-hmm. they don't cross, they coexist.
Yes, yes.
Always.
Yes.
But it's not like that. So here we can see, and then it's easier to understand. And if we go directly into apricot, then you have to be on that level to realize
that. Yeah. That the same time is, since the prakat is an expansion of the apricot, therefore that timeline is there for the Braj buses.
Yeah.
You know, they think like that. He was born, he's like that. That's what's important, you know, Vasudeva.
Yes.
And Nanda Baba, you know, related, and you know, all these kind of things. Those all are there. So it's already done there. That was the previous point that the Acharya had made. Is that, you know, let's say it's gone in one after the other. How can he be in all of them? Because no, the opera, he's in all of them at once. Just in the prakat, it looks like it goes in an order.
Yeah.
But in the apricot, he's in all of them eternally.
Kaishora is the main form.
Kaishora, yes, the Kaishora is the main form. And so then Kaishora is there in all of them. So,
yeah.
So for the Braj, and then if he's always there, then that can also be in the apricot, that could be also where the Tadikatma Rupa is. You know? Because he's always there. You know, because then Braja Krishna will just go to Mathura, pay the taxes, and come back. You know, as mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Same time, it's also Prabhupada mentions that there's the aspect of when they all met and then Krishna said he's going to stay, he both stayed and went back with them. But he went back with them in this Vispurti aspect. But then, so before that, they thought it was unreal, but then after Uddhava, then they understood it's real. Then they were thinking it was just a bad dream he went. Because they'd be thinking of him, then he would be there in that Abhibhava form. But at the same time, as if they look around, then they would think he's not here. But then they'll say no. But then thinking of him, then he'll be there. So it's just to increase the their devotion, their love for him. That's all. And the taste, it just gets more and more intense. So it's After his sudden appearance and performance of pastimes, what did the inhabitants think of his going to Mathura? Krishna will never give us up and go elsewhere. The perception of his going to Mathura was only a dream. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 462 to 472. So they'll think he won't. Let us return to the topic. With great anxiety, Krishna remembered the increased suffering of the people of Brajaland on not seeing him after they had departed for Vrindavan. Seeing him in this condition, Uddhava became greatly pained. Taking the opportunity, he mentioned these devotees in relation to another incident. In their homes, the godly wives of the imprisoned kings sing of your noble deeds, about how you will kill their husband's enemy and deliver them. The gopis also sing your glories, how you killed Shankachuda and delivered them from his hands. The surrendered souls sing of your killing the enemy of Gajendra. The sages sing of your killing the enemy of Sita. We Yadus sing of your killing the enemies of Vasudeva and Devaki. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.7.71.9. After the conclusion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, after killing Salva and Dandavakra, he quickly went to Gokula. In Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda is said, hearing that Shishupal was dead, Dandavakra came to Mathura to fight Krishna. Hearing this, Krishna got on his chariot and went to Mathura to fight him. The two fought day and night at the gate of Mathura on the bank of the Jamuna. Krishna killed him with his club. Dandavakra, like a mountain hit by a thunderbolt, with all his limbs smashed, gave up his life and fell to the ground. He attained Sayuja, the supreme eternal destination, filled with eternal bliss, attained by yogis. Thus Jayavijaya, on the pretext of the Kumara's curse, appeared in the world only for the pastimes of the Lord, and in three births were killed by the Lord. At the end of the third birth, they were liberated. After killing him, Krishna crossed the Jamuna, went to Braja, and meeting his original parents, comforted them. And he was embraced by them with tears in their throats. He offered respects to all the elder cowherds and satisfied everyone present with jeweled ornaments. This is just jewel ornaments. I'm not sure. They would be mainly jewel held together, or jeweled ornaments means it could be that or gold with jewels in it. On the bank of the Jamuna, covered with pure trees, Krishna played constantly with the gopis. Wearing the dress of a cowherd boy, he lived there for 2 months with full rasa of prema. Padma Purana 6252, 19-27. This should be understood. Dantavakra came to Mathura after the Rajasuya sacrifice, understanding that Krishna was at Indraprastha, that Krishna had taken Uddhava's advice for killing Jarasandha, and considering himself skillful at using the club, he called Krishna for single-handed combat to attack him on the road. Hearing that Krishna had returned to Dwarka, he then went to meet him at the gate of Mathura when Krishna came there. The place in the city facing Dwarka is called Dhatiha, the place where Dantavakra was killed. This was possible because Narada and Krishna's chariot could travel at the speed of mind. Thus, there is no contradiction in the account of Bhagavatam and Padma Purana. It is not necessary to explain the events according to different kalpas. It is said that Dantavakra heard of Shalva's death immediately. Right. So this thing of explaining different kalpas, sometimes that does because it's a different pastime, and sometimes in here it makes sense because they can travel at the speed of mind. So that means he wants to be there, he's there in a moment. So you'll see as they'll start off, everyone will get together, they'll call everybody, they'll get, you know, do all the things or whatever they're doing, get in their chariots, start off, people see him leave and then they're there. So that the flavor of him going is there, and then the flavor of him arriving, and in between, just it's a, you know, speed of mind. You know, it's like Dwarka to Rukmini's place. Depending on where you say it is, some say it's in Assam. You know, her palace and all that. So that's a good walk. And I think it was the next day or something, or something very quickly was there. So he left with all the troops, and they walk off. But then they arrive in the morning there. Yeah. You know, so
same principle in the movie making.
Yes, especially Hindi movies. Yeah. So here he's saying there's no need to make it into a different kalpa. So Rajasuya, when he went back, then immediately Darasalva was already there, you know, and then he killed him. Then he killed Shishupal, went back. Shalva then, in a moment, he was there in Mathura, killed Dantavakra, then went to Vrindavan for 2 months. So Prakat, 2 months. Krishna, returning to Gokula, is confirmed in Bhagavatam. As he departed, that best of the Yadus saw how the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending messages with his loving promise, I shall return. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-35. Now you should all return to Raja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your will-wishing friends. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-23. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-35. Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Braja to satisfy his parents. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-34. If he did not return, he would contradict the words of the lords of the devotees. Satya Sankalpaha, the Lord's desires come true. Krishna himself has said, Ishvaranam Vacha Satyam. The words of the controllers are true. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-31. These are not the only reasons for concluding that he returned. His return to Braja is clear in the following. O lotus-eyed Lord, when you go to Hastinapur or Braja to see your friends, one moment becomes like a trillion years for us who belong to you and who become like eyes without the sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:11-9. So there the Dwarkavasis, they're saying that, you know, when either you go to Hastinapur or you go to Braja, then we have, you know, then that separation is very great. So even there, it appears in the apricot pastimes, you have that aspect where he can seemingly go. Then he'll come back, just like Krishna goes to Mathura to pay the tax, and then they come back. You know, so in Dwarka, then he'll now and then go off to see his friends here and there. Because Hastinapur is a, you know, let's say like a branch of Dwarka. You know, it's there within the Swetha Dweep scene. That's part of, The word Madhun means Mathura. At that time, it is clear that his friends lived only in Braja, within Mathura area. Sridhar Swami also agrees with this interpretation. All the people in Mathura city had been transferred to Dwarka. So they're in Dwarka, so he says when you go to Mathura, that means Vrindavan. After transporting all his subjects to the new city by the power of his yoga maya, Krishna consulted with Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then, wearing a garland of lotuses, but bearing no weapons, Krishna went out of Mathura by its main gate, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:50-57. So that would have been the Ranchor Lila, no? Because this is on the 18th attack. But then also the Kaliyavan came. So I think he transferred everybody.
Oh, yeah.
To Dwarka. The following is also well known. O best of the Kurus, since Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokula. O best of the Kurus, once Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokul. What did I say?
Since Balaram.
Instead of once, since.
Oh, maybe that's why it didn't make sense. I was thinking, why doesn't this make sense? That's why it didn't make sense. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:65-1. The people of Dwarka spoke thus to the Lord. Briti, the next Anucheta presents quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas to assert the truth of the cowards of Vrindavan entering the apricot abode. Anucheta 175. That Krishna returned to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra is approved by Bhagavatam. After killing Kamsa, he said, now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come see you, our dear relatives, who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to our well-wishing friends, to your well-wishing friends. Right, because they're all friends and relatives of Nanda, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-23. At Kurukshetra, he said that he would come after killing Dantavakra. He had to show friendship with the Yadavs by killing all their enemies. My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-41. After enjoying for 2 months in Prakat pastimes in Braja, Krishna, understanding that they were afflicted with fear that he would leave again, made sure that would not happen. That was the thing why he didn't go back before, because he hadn't finished his work, so if he left, if he went back to Vrindavan and then left again, then they wouldn't survive. And so he didn't go back until after the killing of Dantavakra.
Yeah.
Right? The Prakat pastimes were mixed with goals like relieving the earth of its burden, which acted as an obstacle to associating with his dear devotees. He made the Prakat pastimes one with his eternal aprakat pastimes, which cannot be detected by persons eternal, external to the pastimes, and which are completely devoid of the obstacles mentioned before. Right? He doesn't have to remove all these different... He doesn't have to, you don't have Jarasandha and this and that in your aprakat pastimes. They're there as the memories of the prakat, but they refer to them as references, but they're not... They don't have to be performed, so he doesn't have to leave. This is a special manifestation of Vrindavan for aprakat pastimes. This aprakat place called Gokula was manifested by the Lord as described in Krishnam cha tatra chandobihi stu yamanam. The cowards saw Krishna praised by the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28-18. In another manifestation, Krishna then returned to Dwarka. Right, so then here, this then you could say in another manifestation, then you could say this is Tadek Atma Rupa. But at the same time, it's Krishna now, because the Brajvasis aren't there. There's no need to maintain his mood in that mood from them. Now he can just deal with them. So then it's Tadek Atma Rupa. But it's not that you don't have those things of where he remembers the Lord and this and that. But I kind of get the idea that they must still be there and seen as there in the Prakat pastime. So then that aspect of the, what was that? The Vishwakarma built Vrindavan?
No.
Nava Vrindavan. They would have still been around. So it had to happen within that time. So this could be all these, those elements happened within that aspect of the Prakat there before the Vrindavan went up Prakat. Then he goes back and like that. But those will still be there in the memory. Because, does that make sense?
Yeah.
An expansion. And then, because there's a connection between them all. Like that. But Braj is the main. Like that. And they all say that. When he goes to Mathura, then they all glorify the gopis. Dwarka, then Bhishma is glorifying the gopis. All persons present in Braja, headed by Nanda, along with their wives and sons, cows, animals, and birds, attained spiritual forms by the mercy of Vasudeva. They mounted an airplane and went to the Supreme Vaikuntha planet. Krishna, having given his supreme pure abode to the people of Gokula, entered Dwarka, while being praised by devatas in the sky. Padma Purana 6:252-28:29. Harivamsa also states the same. Nanda went with his son, Krishna, Putra, Jashoda, and others. Dara also went. Thus, Nanda went to Vaikuntha with Krishna, Jashoda, and others. In another manifestation, they stayed in Gokula, though they were not aware of this. By the mercy of Vasudeva, who had come there by his mercy, they had spiritual bodies, Divya, Rupa, Dara, more remarkable than previously, since they were full of bliss. Mounting on an airplane indicates that Goloka was situated above all other planets. So then you have the thing of the aprakat where they just all, with Krishna, mount this airplane and go to Goloka. But at the same time, is that the aprakat pastimes stay there, that in that mood of going on the airplane to Vaikuntha with Krishna, they don't realize they're still there and the Oma Lila is still going on at Apricot. It is stated that having killed Dantavakra, Krishna crossed the river Jamuna. This means that the people of Braja at that time had been living on the northern bank of the Jamuna. Not being able to tolerate seeing Vrindavan, they left there and went to the northern bank after returning from Kurukshetra. Wow, that's far out. Yeah, because to go to Mathura, you don't have to cross the Jamuna. Vrindavan and Mathura on the same side. That he crossed, then he has to go to the other side, Balaram's side. That's far. After returning to the southern bank using his chariot, the best of airplanes, he had them enter a secret place, Vaikuntha, a special manifestation which he had previously shown the cowards in Vrindavan after rescuing Nanda from Varuna's abode. This follows the logic of, quote, if there is honey nearby, why go to the forest, end quote. Since they did not know his abode, Naveda Swam Gatim Brahman, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.14, they could experience it by going there. Thus, this Vaikuntha was hidden within Vrindavan. There were plenty of statements showing that in Vrindavan eternal pastimes take place. So the pastimes take place there. That's been, you know, explained many, many times. That's not a problem. Garga's statement came true. By his nature, increasing the bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act most auspiciously for you. And by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.16. At the end of the prose portion of Padma Purana, it is said that Krishna then entered Dwarka. The Yadus had left Dwarka in order that Saul would be killed, and were waiting for Krishna to return. He returned to Dwarka with them, quote unquote, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.78.16. This then agrees with Bhagavatam. Without him, it would not be proper to enter their houses, or the Yadus perceived Krishna's absence only a short time, as in the following. So they went out for that fighting and all that, then he went to Dantavakra and that, and then he came back. King, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord, of their very lives, they had been covered by Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year to be merely half a moment. Right? So they only thought it was half a moment. They just thought that he had walked off to get the cows, and then when he walked back, there they are. Also in mantras for worship of Krishna in Vrindavan, it is mentioned that he killed Kamsa. This shows that he returned to Gokula after killing Kamsa. Bodhayana says, Govindam Gopi Jana Valabhesha Kamasura Gna Tridashendra Vandya. He is the Lord of the Gopis, the killer of Kamsa, and is worshipped by Indra. Right? Because you have all of them together in that mantra, Upasana Mayi meditation, that he's already killed Kamsa, but he's with the Gopis. So it means he has to be there, but in, you know. It means, as mentioned before, then the Abhivah. But at the same time, as he's already killed Kamsa and he's with them, means he's come back and now is with them. You know? So if they're talking about the personal, means after killing Dantavakra, now he's back with them, he's killed Kamsa. You know? And in the Prakat pass, Apricot, then the Prakat is there, so that's already been done and he's with them. So in any case, no problem. Elsewhere it is said, Govinda Gopi Jana Valabhesha Vidvasta Kamsa. Krishna is the Lord of the Gopis and the killer of Kamsa. It is also said in Gautamiya Tantra that one should offer Krishna, who is a cowherd in cowherd dress, the golden sacred thread, which he only obtained after going to Mathura. So then, the thing, you know, with Krishna wearing a Brahmin thread in Vrindavan, you know, or not wearing, because someone say, "Oh, we only got there, so should the deity wear?" And this and that. Sometimes that comes up. I don't know if you've ever bumped into that one, but now and again when people get overly into details. But the point is, here it says he's worshipped that way because he came back to Vrindavan. He had been in Dwarka, he already got Upanayana. So it works out. It's not a problem. So don't take the Brahman threads off of your beliefs. Yes? I haven't heard that one.
We're not on that level.
I mean, not on that. That Krishna return is also indicated in the following. Because your minds are totally absorbed in me and free from all other engagement, remember me always. You will very soon have me again in your presence eternally. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-46. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life, but your prema for me, which has existed to bring the highest fortune, has caused you to attain me directly. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-44. Thus, Krishna, the gopis instructor in eternal goal, showed them his mercy. He then met with Yudhishthira and all other relatives and inquired from them about their welfare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:83-1. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, mountains, animals, living entities with stunted consciousness such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieve the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me, and thus very easily achieved me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:12-8. The last verse describes gopis who seem to perform sadhanas and attain him for the first time. Though they were eternal consorts, attaining him after great separation is confirmed by speaking of separation in the past tense. Yeah, thus they all achieved him means it's already done. So they're in his presence now. The gopis were always completely attached to me with the deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akrura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, suffering extreme mental distress because of separation from me, they could not find any other source of happiness. All of those nights that the gopis spent with me, their most dearly beloved, in the land of Vrindavan, while I herded the cows, seemed to them to pass in less than a moment. Bereft of my association, however, the gopis felt that those same nights were equal to a day of Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:12-10-11. Filled with intense pain from separation because of deep love, they did not see any person other than me, such as their own Shakis, as a source of happiness in the past. This means that now they see happiness. They did not see. They have no separation. All the nights being without me were like a kulpa, but now those nights are not so. There is no separation now. So he's saying that from this, then you can understand, you know, what it means. So it means the hidden meaning is also a direct understanding, right? But it's a hidden direct. There's direct, means it's obvious and it's what should be done. And then there's the hidden, which is also a direct meaning, but it's only appreciated by those who have the adhikar to understand it, and therefore they're explaining it, then we get to know. Then the indirect is how to get a direct meaning out of wording that's indirect. So in any case, you always end up with a direct meaning if you're studying the scriptures as it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. But you do distinguish what kinds of how that comes, how that's there. So that's why then it's important that means for us the hearing from authorities, you know, tradition and all those things is still part of Shabda if it's coming from the Acharyas. Does that make sense? You know, or what's accepted by the Acharyas. So then that the Acharyas present these things, others may or may not appreciate, but you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you want to go here, you appreciate. You have some other idea of where you'd like to end up? Hey, go for it. And you said it, as they say, it's a free world. In this way, the meaning is understood. There's no longer any separation. Riti, having proved that the gopis attained the aprakata bodhi, the next anucheta describes that the gopis don't differentiate between the prakata and aprakata bodhis. Just as rivers enter the ocean and do not know their name and form, the gopis in relishing rasa did not know their names and forms. The gopis remain in a state of mahabhava, difficult to bear, manifested by extreme longing due to separation. They were not aware of a sense of possession, swam, or identity, atmanam, and did not know if they were participating in aprakat or prakat pastimes. That's absorbed. Anucheta 176. Not distinguishing between the prakat and aprakat pastimes and attaining aprakat pastimes, the gopis remain in this world as names and forms only, since their minds are with Krishna. Ta na vidhan mayanu sangha badha dhyasvam atmanam adas tatedam yata samadhav munayobdhi toye nadyad pravishta iva nama rupe. Their minds, bound by constant association with me, they were not aware of their bodies, of this world or the next world, just as sages in samadhi were not aware of the world, and just as rivers enter the ocean endowed with name and form. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.12. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Ujjwala Nilamani explains that when one experiences intense emotions, one forgets everything, even though one is not in a state of illusion. That is shown in this verse. Their minds were bound to constant association with me. By his amazing pastimes, Krishna stunned all the three worlds. By his constant association, he bound up the gopis with great strength. The functions of their intelligence became like desire cows fulfilling Krishna's desires. Bound up by constant association, they did not know their own bodies. In going to the rasa dance, they did not know where they were, where they had come. They were not aware of this world or next, or then next, adaha, though they had transgressed dharma. They were like sages in samadhi. In that state, experiencing Brahman, the sages remembered nothing. However, the gopis experienced me, not the Brahman. Thus the example is useful to show forgetfulness, but is not meant to show the attainment. There is a great difference between the gopis attaining prema and the sages attaining nirvana, since their feelings of possessiveness are different. Seeing a husband or sons, even without good qualities, gives more happiness than seeing the moon, which gives great bliss and destroys all suffering. The cause is the possessiveness. One is more possessive of a husband and sons than of the moon. Then what to speak of the bliss if one is unlimitedly possessive of Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, who gives unlimited bliss by his very nature and is decorated with all good qualities. This possessiveness is the cause of the greatest bliss for the devotees. Brahmanando bhaved esha ched parardha gunikritaha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulam api. The bliss of Brahman realization, accumulated by samadhi, lasting for half of Brahma's life, cannot compare. Oh, the bliss of Brahman realization, accumulated by samadhi, lasting for half of Brahma's life, cannot compare to one drop of the ocean of happiness of bhakti. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.138. Do we need brackets?
Yes.
Brahman is attached to the devotees and under their control. But Brahman is not attached to the sages and is not under their control. Just as rivers enter the ocean and do not know their name and form, the gopis in relishing rasa did not know their names and forms. The comparison does not illustrate absolute non-difference of gopis from Brahman. Sardartha Darshani 11.12.12. But it just shows that they're so absorbed because of that sense of possession. It became just so intense. So it means if you have the sages in that, then they're trying to do that aspect of merging. But that whatever they would get for that samadhi for half a life of Brahma, so that's a good meditation, right? It's not equal to a drop of the happiness that the devotees feel. They, ta, remain in a state of mahabhava, difficult to bear, manifested by extreme longing due to separation. Their intelligence was bound up by union, for they attained my association as I came to see them. Attained a meeting in a state of maha-modana. They were not aware of a sense of possession, swam, or identity, atmanam, and did not know if these were apakat pastimes or pakat pastimes. They understood them as one. Right? Because before that we saw is that there was that, that was what Krishna's also, is the instruction is giving. Is that if you're absorbed in the one, then it doesn't, you won't feel any difference.
No? I had a doubt when you first read it, that in order to experience what the Vrajbhasis experience, somehow you have to identify with the place. Otherwise, at this stage of Mahabhava, they don't differentiate between the prakat and aprakat places. So how can they have the feelings of, for example, separation if there's no differentiation? Because if it's prakat, they should feel it. And if it's aprakat, they shouldn't, apparently, because they're with Krishna. It's strange.
I wonder if that means windows are open downstairs. Now, can you go check? Shukrabhadina said, because I hear banging of windows and stuff here in the next building, that something's not open. Yeah, well, it's already early enough that storms could start.
Okay.
You get one or two here and there. Like, you know, always on the Parikram, when they're at Jagannath Mandir, every time, you know, soaking wet. You know?
That's a must.
Yeah, must.
Otherwise, no success.
Yeah. No.
But it's still cold, so it's strange.
Yeah, but it's still because it's heating up. So it's storms are the cause between the cold air and the hot air mixing. So depending on which one's doing what, which one's going into which, then it moves in a certain way, and they have all the different names, or whether it's a cyclone or a hurricane or this or that, they have a thing, but it's just I have hot water, cold water. They pour the cold in the hot or the hot in the cold, they give it two different names. You know, and if it was a small glass or if it was a big glass or small into a big or a big into, you know, they have names for all that, but it's just the same thing. So, I don't even remember what we were talking about.
How can...
Oh! I think so. No, almost. I remember you talking about it, but I don't remember what it was.
That my idea was that they have to identify...
Oh, they have to identify. Yes. Okay, but in this, then, as if we're looking at Icha Kriya Jnana, which is the what do you call it? Prabhava, right? The influential thing.
Yeah.
Is the dynamic, not the taste, not the situational.
Yeah.
Then why is the situation there? Because you can perform an action, which is pleasing to Krishna. So, in other words, Krishna has a desire for a particular interaction. Therefore, everything falls into place. So that's why I said before is that all they saw was pleasing Krishna, fulfilling Krishna's desire. That's all they saw. So that means automatically then the activities are there and the situations are there, though they're only aware of the Icha aspect.
Yeah.
You know, the Kriya and Jnana are simply supportive. So if they're there, even these others, because knowing the body, that's the place. That's the jnana or the sandhini. Sandhini will manifest that. So they're so absorbed in the ladidi aspect, they don't see the other two. They're involved in them, but their focus is only on that aspect. So that's why then it becomes the highest. That's why that was the maha modana. Yeah. That is the aspect. So you see, as Lord Chaitanya, when he becomes absorbed in that mood, it has nothing to do with the place. He's absorbed that mood, and one time he's in the ocean, another time he's in a cow shed. You know, so the place doesn't isn't noticed. Right?
Yeah.
But he'll be talking about, you know, what they did and this and that, but they don't distinguish is it prakata or apakata. They don't have to. It's, you're fulfilling Krishna's desire, so wherever it's filled, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. So if Krishna's manifesting those things, it happens in that. If he's, if it's been become apricot, then it's not. So yeah, so it's just the prakat merges into the apricot. Means they just go back to their natural form, and then they leave in that apricot forms to go to Goloka, though they're still staying there, you know, in their forms in the apricot, lila, and the bone. Good?
It's a bit all over my hat, and I have to admit.
It's Sankarya.
Sankarya. You need another one of them. Oh, so I give you the whole thing. No, but you have it. Like now it's warming up. I'm hardly ever using it. You don't like them? Okay. Yeah, yeah, nice, nice. No, they're rigging. You try eating hot parathas or something. That might do it too.
You might eat Asmoda.
Okay.
The principle of Satkaryavada applies.
Okay, so then the one is in the other. So it's all the same thing. It's just that it's in the you may see the effect. So the prakata, the effect of the apricot. And then the Goloka and Gokula are the same place. So the, if we say they're the same place, both pastimes go on at once. So that means you could have them in the form that they're going to Goloka, you know, going to Goloka, and the form that they're in Gokula in apricot being there. And at the same time, they're in Goloka already there before they get there. So this is the Achintya Bheda Bheda pastimes. That was the point, remember, when Jiva Goswami was talking prakat apricot, and he quoted, he made the statement. Prabhupada says the same statement, I say the same words, but instead of prakat and apricot, he used achinta bheda tattva. So when you understand that, then you don't. Then there's no. They're different, but they're the same. But the cause is the apricot. The effect is the prakat.
Yeah. Now it's clear. Because we started, I remember this topic of prakat apricot when we were studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It came right at the end, but Rupa Goswami didn't go into much details. He just mentioned that prakat and apricot, they're not two different pastimes. They are two features of the same pastime.
Yes, yes.
So that was like a revelation, and then, but now it goes even into more.
Yes. Yeah, just slowly gets deeper in understanding and like that. So you just want to, these, because certain things, unless it's there, you're not going to appreciate it. You know, it's just like to say you're not the body, you have to perform your duties for Arjuna. But you already have to have addressed that, you know, the duties of, you know, what about, you know, the parents and the teachers and all that and all those duties and all that. But then when you're showing that you're not the body, so therefore it's what is appropriate, then you can start going up, and then you can start looking at it from that viewpoint, like in the third chapter. Okay, you're given that, but now how do you connect it to it? He separated him off from the moralistic view, you know, and accepting the spiritual view, but then how do you now act in your life? That's in the third chapter, Gita. Then how that applies there. And then how that, then okay, I'm doing that, but what about that philosophy? Then you can use them both together. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he's given that, you've borrowed the philosophy, then how to use them both together, that's the fifth chapter, and then he says that's the Krishna consciousness. You know? Then, you know, for the meditation, like this, it just...
Yeah,
yeah, and then goes on to the bhakti. There's a difference in prakat and apakat, two manifestations, two identities, and two pastimes. But they recognize them as non-different. They thus seem to merge into pravishtaha iva, the apakat manifestation with its name and form, namarupe, but actually did not, since entities are non-different to begin with. Namarupa is a compound. An example of non-difference of names and forms of prakat and apakat pastimes is given. In samadhi, the sages are not aware of difference. This is samadhi of the pure jiva, impersonal. The example of not knowing the difference of the two pastimes is partial. The example of not knowing the difference of the two pastimes is partial, not true in all respects. Such partial examples are sometimes given, as in the following sutra. Loka avat tu lila kaivalyam. The Lord's creation of the world is just a pastime, an act without motive, in which the Lord becomes completely absorbed, seeing nothing else as we see in an ordinary person's conduct. Brahma Sutra 2.1.33. Udriti Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates on this topic in Jiva Dharma. Vijay Kumar. If Goloka is the highest abode of Krishna, then why is Vraja said to have so much astonishing glory? Goswami. Vraja, Gokul, and Vrindavan are included in Mathura Mandala. Mathura Mandala and Goloka are the same tattva. The one entity situated as the highest place, Goloka, becomes Mathura Mandala in the material world. It is famous in these two forms simultaneously. Vijay Kumar, I cannot understand how this is possible. Goswami, right? So he's already made the point, some people go, what? And so he then Vijay Kumar says all the... Goswami, this situation exists by Krishna's Achintya Shakti. The objects of the Achintya Shakti are beyond comprehension and logic. What is called Goloka becomes Mathura Dham in the material world during the Prakat pastimes. In the Apakat pastimes, it is Goloka. Krishna's spiritual pastimes are eternal. The persons who are qualified to see spiritual things sees Goloka. They can even see Goloka within Gokula. The persons whose intelligence is restricted by matter cannot see Goloka. Though Gokula in this world is Goloka, that person sees the material world in Gokula. Right, so that's why then we go there and see, oh, it's so messy and dirty and that kind of thing. Right. So that makes sense. It means it's not our duty to clean that, but we're seeing that in Vrindavan rather than seeing, you know, oh, we're going to see Madan Mohan and this and that and such nice things. Does that make sense? Well, here, if it's your duty to make it clean, then seeing the dirt then is service. But yeah, well. So, Goloka is Goloka, and the same Goloka when it comes here is known as Mathura Mandala. So they're the same place. It's just that when it's there, it's called this, and when it's here, it has the other term. You know, I'm not sure who was discussing. One of the acharyas was discussing, I think it's Rupa Goswami, when you have different situations, they give different names, though they may be the same thing. Right? I take something, put it in a pot, apply heat to it. It's called cooking. But if I'm cooking it dry, I'll call it a chachri. I'm cooking it wet, I call it a dalma. But the process is the same. So it's all coming. So, but those, therefore, for those in Goloka, means Gokula or Mathura Mandala is the same place. They aren't the different places. They're the same place. And then those who are advanced, they can see when they're in Mathura Mandala, they see that it is Goloka. But you can also, if you're not so advanced, then see that you'll then through, what's that term you always use? Not aparoksha. Where you project?
Aropa.
Aropa. That onto Vrindavan and that the material. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same place. So that they don't make a difference is not a fault, because they are the same place. So that's why it's not two different things. But they may have their specialness of what's going on at the time and all this and that, and you know, what's happening in the prakat, what's happening in the apricot at the same time may be different. But at some point then the prakat just goes back into the apricot. Because it's an extension of there, it just goes back.
So, I think in the beginning,
you know, it's like the prakat is like the trailer.
Yeah.
Showing all the, you know, interesting bits.
Yeah, I was thinking in the story of Gop Kumar in the beginning that he was traveling between the two places, and then it appears that he felt the difference, and then after a while he didn't feel any difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for us now, you know, prakat and aprakat, or Boma Lila and then aprakat Lila, they are different.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our own perspective.
Yes, yes.
But then for the residents of Vrindavan, or eternal associates of the Lord, there's no difference.
There's no difference.
Yeah.
No difference. So it only appears different because, let's say, meeting Krishna for the first time is so wonderful, therefore in the prakat pastimes they have meeting Krishna for the first time over and over and over, because in the apricot then they're always, you know, performing their astakali
alila. Yeah.
So in other words, beyond time and space. So until one is comfortable to work with, are at least comfortable with the idea that it might be a reality beyond time and space, then one can start to appreciate, you know, step by step. That's why you see the Acharya one step at a time. You see the same verse is quoted in one anucheta, and he's establishing one point, referring to the next, inferring or referring like this. Then in the next anucheta, then he's quoting the same thing again, but now he's focusing on the part that was inferred in the last one.
Yeah.
So he's just taking it, you know, that's why it works so nicely, because it's not just going A, B, C, D, which is how we'll run things. But it's got the Sangati. So it's going A, B, B, C, C, D, D, E, like that. And so then you understand how they connect. Because now when you hear this, now anything before that just fits into place, and not like, oh, this is something new. That many times has a problem when, if we create something. As you introduce something, you don't see any connection with what was there previously. And so because of that, then there's a problem. But because they're doing with Sangatis all along, then you just see if you're just going deeper into the same thing. As you go, it just deepens. It deepens what you're learning. Not. It's technically not something new. It may be a new feature of, you know, the what you're dealing with, and that comes out at a deeper level. You know, it's like Prabhupada when he taught the cooking. He taught you put the ghee in the pan. You put the chilies, the cumin seeds, like that. And when they're ready, you throw in the vegetables. Like that, mix them around, put some salt and turmeric, mix it around a bit, put a lid on it, and then now and again stir it, and then it comes out nice. So that as a cooking technique, you can cook anything, you know, and it'll always come out nice. But then you have the aspect of then taking those things, what is in the chaunce, you can expand on what's in the chaunce. Like, he didn't put ginger, you could put some ginger. Or he didn't have hing, you could put some hing. You know, or you put a punch on them, or, you know, like this, so you can expand on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or again, more technically, the kosher is the same thing, just that the one is you're using dry spices and they cook quicker, and the other one you're using wet spices, it takes a little longer. So, you're looking for something different on how it ends up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there, or when it goes in the other things, then how the other aspects go, instead of just putting in the turmeric, you're putting in some more things, you know, or you might put in some water. You want it to be a wet subject. Certainly, So you're just expanding on the one thing. So if that's understood, it all comes out of here. Then as you go, it's not different. But because we'll tend to break things up by their detail, their external. Then when the devotees ran into, you know, the Gujaratis, you know, once they kind of developed and all that, and Gujaratis would come to the temple and all that, and naturally they like to cook. So then they would cook, and for the devotees, it was a completely different way of cooking. When actually, no, it's still cooking. Prabhupada taught cooking. It was rooted in the, you know, the detail of the Bengali, but it was cooking. But they saw it, oh, this is Gujarati, and it's different. And so then it completely got off, and at one point Prabhupada said, no, just stick to cumin. Don't use all these mustard seeds, this, that, fry, and nuts. Because they just throw everything in, didn't know how one cooked or the other. They just, you know, that one goes in. They don't know that there's an order, and if you use this, this one has to be put first, then this. They just threw it in there, and everything, you know, it's like it all goes in there.
The more the better.
Yeah, the more the better. The more the better, you know. So then Prabhupada just had to stop it. And then it became, in India, because we knew how to use those spices, and this goes in this chutney, that goes there, when sometimes the Western leaders would come, no, Prabhupada said you can't cook any of that. And so no, that's for people who don't know how to cook. We're cooking. He likes that, because he would eat Didi Ma's cooking, they cook with all those things. You know, so they can't say anything, because Prabhupada's doing it. But if anybody else cooked, no, Prabhupada said, no mustard seed. It's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Yeah.
Dopa doesn't have a taste without the mustard seeds.
Yeah. And then also if you have the fried green chilies on top. Yeah, so in other words, by breaking it up into things, then you can't see the cooking. So when you break up Goloka and then Gokula and this and Prakat, Apakat and then Dorka and Vrindavan and you break them all up, you can't see the one that they're one thing. Just different features of the one thing. So there is Visesha, but it's still one thing. Then it has more of a, therefore the simultaneously one and different. If that's appreciated, then it all goes smoothly. And if not, then goes less smoothly. Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, Vijay Kumar, what is the qualification to see Goloka? Goswami. Sukadeva said, Iti, Sashchintya Bhagavan Maha Karuniko Harihi Darshayam Asha Lokam Swam Gopanam Tamasaf Param. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Lord revealed to the cowherd man his abode, which is beyond Prakriti. Satyam
Gyan.
Oh. Satyam Gyanam Anantam Tat Yad Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam Yadhi Pashyati Muneyo Gunopaye Samahita. Krishna revealed the place which was real, cognizant, infinite, eternal, and self-effulgence. Sages see that place in trance, when their consciousness is free from the modes of material nature. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:28, 14:15. One cannot see Goloka except by Krishna's mercy. Being merciful, Krishna showed Goloka to the inhabitants of Braja. Right? So then the therefore you see the sages in meditation like that, but then we saw the acharyas make a distinction between what they're getting and what the gopis are getting. So they're becoming free from the material world by meditating on Goloka, but they're already absorbed in Krishna's mood, therefore they're in Goloka. Right? Once in the material world, you meditate on Goloka to bring you up to the position of spiritual, because that's all they're worried about, is the spiritual. While the gopis are already absorbed in pleasing Krishna, and so that means the activities in the place are automatically there. So what they're trying to attain for them is secondary. You know?
Yeah.
Step.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.